we got two more little topical lessons we're going to do. And the next series of lessons is going to start after the gospel meeting is over. We're going to start that in May. We're going to have a film strip. I think Brother Banks is going to be leading that on a Sunday morning. Nevertheless, today, I want to look at something that I guess we read all the time, but we really don't see it as clearly as we should see it, you know, because our minds just brings us to certain places sometimes when we see things. And here's the example for that. Somebody get their phones out and look up the word perfect, and somebody get the phones out and look up the word perfected. Two different words, right? Should be. Perfect and perfected. Let's look at those words real quick and see what we can glean from that. All right? So let's read perfect first, whenever you get to it.
Describes something entirely without faults, flaws, or defects. It is complete, accurate, and meets all requirements.
Flawless, accurate, without defect. Perfected.
It's a grammatical aspect indicating an action is concluded, viewed as a single whole or has a defined result, rather than being in progress.
All right. So that's two different words, two different definitions, right? Am I right? Okay. So, So what we need to understand is, it's just because someone is perfect, what really can be, and they're not perfected. And if somebody is perfected, that doesn't mean that they're perfect either, all right? Let's look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. I just want to show you something that, I mean, and I've overlooked it for years. I've seen it, in the past few years. It's crystal, it's clear, but the opportunity presents itself today for us to talk about it, if indeed you will. So indulge me for a few minutes. And we can see we can glean from Hebrews chapter 5. And what we're going to do is we're going to read verses 1 through 9. Hebrews chapter 5. And we're going to look at the word perfected and the word perfect and see what we can get out of that, right? Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 1 says, "For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required as for the people, so also for himself to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he is called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' As he also says in another place, 'You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek,' who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications and vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Verse 8, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Verse 9, and having been, what's that word? Who's got perfect there? Who's got perfect in it? Perfect? Perfect. And someone says, but mine says perfected. Okay, well, here we go. So verse 9, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So let me ask you this. You're talking about Jesus Christ right here, right? So how can he become perfect? He is God. That's the first thing I want you to keep in mind. So who makes Jesus perfect? He's God, right? Okay, so let's think about this for a second. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 9 is the idea that salvation is going to come to those of us because we have been perfected in Christ. And Christ has been perfected for our salvation. There's not one man on earth at all who can look to himself alone to have reform. It's no possible way that can happen, all right? I mean, self-reformation is a good thing. And I would think that if somebody were to seek self-reformation, it would be seeking self-reformation to prepare yourself to meet God. Because you don't want to meet God in the condition that you're in, right? You want to meet God in a position that is perfected, that is fit for you to meet God in, correct? We can't do that on our own, all right? So some people try to perfect themselves with their feelings when it comes to church, right? You want to approach God with your feelings, and that's not the way to do it. So we defend our feelings. Some people want to approach God with the institutions and the rituals they've been a part of. But you know, God, I did this. I was in this institution. I was in that. And that's not going to get it easy either. You know, somebody said that it would be as easy, and this was a sarcastic statement, it would be easy for man to save himself and repair himself to stand before God and to look at himself for salvation than it is to raise himself from the dead. It is pretty ironic, and it's pretty ludicrous to even say that. And if you're going to say that, then just as easy as the other one, we understand that when we die, our souls without a Savior is a lost soul. We understand that. And the world understands that too, but the world gets on the bandwagon that God can't be that kind of God. God is not going to condemn me, right? What did Jesus say? I didn't come here to condemn the world, because the world is, it's already condemned, right? It's already condemned. So God has prepared a way for us in that we are Christians, but before we became Christians, we were lost. So God has prepared a way for those that are lost and that are judgment bound to be saved. And what he does is he points to his son, all right? He points to his son, and here's what happens. Here's what the word perfected means in that particular case. He points to his son, and he says that his son has perfect fitness for us as a Savior. He is the perfect fitness, not the perfect Christ, even though he is the perfect Christ, because who can make Christ perfect? That's not what it's saying. It's saying that he has the perfect fitness for that particular thing, for our salvation. Nobody else here can be perfectly fitted to save us, not even ourselves. But God has perfectly fitted Christ in a human body to be able to save our souls. Because just like as us, he was tempted in every way, right? Yet without sin. Without sin. So he's prepared a way for those who's condemned, those who are dying, to be saved, all right? Sometimes the word perfect in the Bible, when we see it in different versions, doesn't always mean that things are without sin or without blemish, all right? It means specifically in this particular verse right here, and I had a chance to look at it, that Christ is perfectly fitted for the job. He's been brought to that particular place. He has been prepared to achieve that place that God has chosen him for. God has appointed him. He has ordained him. He has made him perfectly fitted to do the job, perfectly fit for being our Savior. And to those who obey him, he's become the author of eternal salvation, to those who obey him. Not one of us can be perfectly fit for that job. Some people are fit for, you know, there are people that are fit for certain jobs, right? And you see that, and you look at it, you say, man, they fit that just like a glove. Perfectly fit is what this means in this particular context of the lesson, that Jesus Christ is the only one that's perfectly fitted to be our Savior. And those who believe in him, he's become an author of salvation for those, because he is that perfect fit. Who in here could be that perfect? A lot of men try to save themselves. They can't save themselves for the simple reason that, listen, when we look to ourselves, we can't save ourselves, because for one reason, God has not chosen us to save ourselves. He's not ordained us to save ourselves, right? He has not. He has chosen his son, Jesus Christ. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Why? Because he is perfectly fit to be your Savior. That's what the Hebrew writer is talking about, right? That's what it all boils down to, right? I'm sorry?
I said,
and
not to be your own sacrifice.
Right. He has chosen him, exactly, to be the sacrifice for our sins. He didn't even choose the animals. The sacrifice of the blood of the animals way back when. And he didn't choose us. He chose Christ to be that perfect sacrifice for us. So when we look to ourselves, we're really cheating ourselves, because we're not in the frame or in any feelings or any rituals or anything like that that we can come up with that's going to save us from our sins, right? We're not able to stand on the day of judgment by ourselves in front of God, because God has prepared for us a perfect. When we stand before God, God should see Christ in us because he's perfectly fit to represent us, right? He's become our advocate to the Father. Nobody else is fit for that job. If you really want to call it a job, it's not a job, right? But you get the drift. He is perfectly fit. Look at Hebrews 5:9 says, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, and being perfectly fitted for that, he became the author of eternal salvation. There's a lot of things in there that we're not fit for, and we're certainly not perfectly fit for. Somebody might be perfectly fit for it more than you are, like for instance, in math. There's a whole lot of people that's not perfectly fit to teach math, and they do it and they mess everybody up. Because they're not perfectly fitted for that particular. You follow what I'm saying? Christ is perfectly fit. That's the point I'm trying to drive home. He's perfectly fit. The Hebrew writer is driving that point home. He is perfectly fit to be our Savior. And there's no other name under heaven, Acts 4:12, given to men whereby which they must be saved. Nobody else can do that. There will never be a perfect fit when it comes to the author of our salvation. So don't look to yourselves. Look to him. Look to Jesus. Now, it's about perfect fitness. So when the author of Hebrews looks right here, he speaks about three things in the passage by which the perfect fitness of Jesus is exhibited to us as our Savior. And the first is that he's all sufficient and adequate for us. Our Savior must be a man, and you said it before, who is appointed and ordained of God, right? Hebrews 5:4 says, and no man takes this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as Aaron was. So if you're going to be perfectly fitted for anything, you have to be appointed and ordained for that thing, even in the world we live in. If you're going to be fitted to be the best principal of the high school, people evaluate you, right? You try to make sure that you're the perfect fit for that particular job. And your qualifications and your experience, more than anything else, usually qualifies you for that job. You become that perfect fit, if indeed that works. Christ was ordained by God to be the Savior of the world. He was appointed by God to be the Savior of the world. The reason why we can't be, as I said it before, is because God has not chosen us to be that. He hadn't appointed us to be that. He has not ordained us. Because if he had, then that means we have to stand and represent in the high courts of judgment for God the sins of all mankind. Who could do that? We can't stand for our own. We can't even carry our own sins. He was appointed for that. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, find meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest, right? For my what? What did he say? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, right? So what he's saying, bring it to me because I'm perfectly fit to carry. You're not perfectly fit to carry those burdens. You're not fit to carry those sins. God has appointed Christ to come and die for our sins, and the blood that he shed on Calvary's cross washes away those sins. So understand, you don't have to carry those sins around with you because you're not fit to do it. And I just want to point that out to you. Some people feel they're fit to do anything. Well, I could do just about anything. You fool around there in your house and you got a leak and you don't call Brother Vaughn and you're in trouble because you feel like you're perfectly fit. Well, I looked at Google. I looked at video. I'm good. I could do that. Right? Got to call the remediation team. Get all that water out your house. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. God has appointed Christ. He has ordained Christ to save our souls. We cannot save ourselves. But the world says, yeah, you save yourself. The world also says, forgive yourself. How can you do that? If we can forgive ourselves, then Christ would not have had to. See what I'm saying? So that means that he is the only one, again, that's perfectly fit for that job. He was perfected for that job in the flesh, perfected in the flesh, because just like us in the flesh, he was weak. He was a man. He was just like you and me. But God perfected him. As a son, he learned obedience. He didn't count himself to be equal with God, but he learned as a son in obedience. And as a result of that, God chose him. He elevated him to be our Savior, to be our sacrifice, to be our rescue. Think about that for a second. Anybody got any comments before we go to the next one? So you follow what I'm saying? Look, I've been reading over that for years. And in my mind, the word, what comes up? Perfect. But that's not what the context is saying. Look, you know I like context, right? So when you read, you'll understand exactly what the writer is saying in any instance if you understand the context. Doesn't say there that he was made perfect. Because again, God didn't make Jesus perfect because Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's perfection, not perfectly fit. You with me? It's a difference, right? Perfect and perfected? Yeah, the difference there. All right? Because in that first qualification of being perfectly fit, he must also represent us and plead our cause again on the judgment day. And I'm glad that he's ordained to do that for me and for you. Because again, he was ordained by God to be the Son of Righteousness, to represent us, to be for us an advocate, a representative, to plead our case. Here's what 1 John 2:1 says. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not, that you might not sin. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Who made him that? He was called by God to be that. We all called by God to do something in our lives as well. We look at this in the spiritual realm, and we find out what it is that God has perfectly fitted us for. And we do that. But too many times, we don't try to search out what it is that God has perfectly fitted us for, so we lacking in being a good steward of those things that he has given us, our talents and all those things that go along with it. So my thing is, Jesus knew exactly what he was coming to earth to do. He knew that. And God perfectly fitted him for that mission, just like he's perfectly fitted us for something to do as well in Christ. What is it that you can do in the church? What is it you can do in the community? What is it you can do in your household? You don't even have to stretch it that far. Know that God has perfectly fitted us to do something in the kingdom. What is it? And why are you not doing it? Imagine if Jesus decided, you know what? I know I'm fit for this job, but I'm just tired of doing it. Some folks do that. Man, I'm so tired of doing this job, let somebody else do it. Somebody else got to be perfectly fit too. I'm not the only one, right? In this particular instance, Christ is the only one. We're not the only one because God gives everybody different gifts, right? As he sees need. And what I'm imploring for you today is to understand what gift it is that God has given you to do, that you are perfectly fitted for by God, and do that. We've got to stop sitting on our thumbs and understand that we are living a spiritual life. If God calls us to be an encourager, then you encourage, right? Whatever he calls you to do, you do that and understand that you're doing it to the glory of God and not for yourself, because you didn't make yourself an encourager. God perfectly fits you for that job. Everybody can't encourage. Sometimes they get their words wrong when they try, and their heart, their intent is to encourage, but it comes out all wrong. Right? Sister Brown said, And it does. And it's not intentional, but that's not what God has fitted for you to do. So let's do what he's called us to do because Christ is doing it. Right? No man takes honor unto himself, but he is called. Understand that. He is called, right? So the first qualification is that Jesus is a representative of us to plead our case. The second qualification that he must have is that he must be acceptable unto God, right? Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 3. And by reason hereof, he ought as for the people, so also for himself to offer for our sins. You have got to be acceptable unto God, right? So let's spin this one off a little bit, right? Don't be transformed by this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? What does it say before that? Who knows what it says before that?
Something to the effect of, do not be in the world. Or
nope, here you go. But you offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable act of service. You have got to be what? Acceptable unto God to do anything that God has called you to do. Christ was acceptable unto God. That makes him perfectly fit to be our Savior. Acceptable. He created him that he can stand in our place because we needed somebody to stand in the gap for us. And as Christians in Christ, sometimes we find ourselves opening that gap up again. And the gap doesn't have to be open. You know what we studied in the book of Philippians? How Paul talked about Timothy and Epaphroditus and all those other Christians who did those things to aid in the furtherance of the gospel. That's all this is. We've got to accept that we've been perfectly fitted for something. And again, let's find out what it is. Everybody can't do everything in the church. The hand can't say to the leg, you know, I got this. It's two different functions. But there's only one function when it comes to our salvation, and that function does not belong to us. It belongs to Jesus Christ, whom God has perfectly fitted to become the author of salvation to those of us who believe. Now, those who don't believe, he's not the author of salvation, right? He's not. But he can be. He can be. People believe in angels, don't they? Well, there's a whole religion out there of angelology. But angels are not perfectly fit to represent us. They could not represent us, right? Couldn't stand in our place. Couldn't do it. Remember, he says that even the angels looked for the mystery of God. And that mystery was Jesus Christ coming in the flesh to be our Savior. Even the angels yearned to look into that. They didn't even know because he didn't fit them for that job, right? Didn't fit them for that. So they couldn't stand our place. They couldn't represent us. The law has to do with a man and it's obedience of the man that God requires. It's obedience that it requires. The first Adam, second Adam, right? The first Adam was fit for what? He was fit to serve God in the garden. And how well did he do with that? He was fit for that. The second Adam was fit for the salvation of man. How did he do with that? Exactly. But what we do, sometimes we find ourselves not reveling in the second Adam, but reverting back to, yeah, because we want to get it done. We want to do it. We want to do it, right? We've got to understand that only Christ can stand in our stead as the new Adam, the head of this new nation of people. I mean, we find perfect obedience in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And that perfect obedience was for the fact that he might fulfill the law. What man could fulfill the law? What man? The law led you straight into death because you couldn't fulfill the law at all. When you look at Hebrews 5, the high priest every year had to go back and sacrifice for the sins of the people. Not only for the sins of the people, because he was an imperfect man as well, he had to sacrifice for himself. But understand this, he was perfectly fitted for that job because no other man beside the high priest can walk into that Holy of Holies. That's why he had a rope tied around him. Because if you wasn't perfectly fit to walk in there, that wasn't your thing, they had to drag you out because you was going to die in the presence of God. So you see what I'm saying? Man was never, ever chosen to represent man in the presence of God. He chose Christ.
Brother Collins, explain 5:4, because on the end of it say only God can choose a priest, and God is the one who chose Aaron.
Exactly.
What do they mean by that?
Exactly. He chose Aaron to stand in the stead. Remember Moses? Right? They were all of the priestly tribe of Levi, right? And he chose Aaron as the priest of the high God as well. Moses wasn't the priest of the high God. Aaron was the priest of the high God, chosen by God for that particular reason. Yeah, for that purpose. He was perfectly fitted for it. Just like he chose you for something, and you perfectly fit for it as well. Yeah, exactly. He chose Jesus Christ to be the great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Nobody else. And what does that mean? No beginning of days, no ending of days, right? Because he was always God, still is. And he's still representing us as the Christ, who's perfectly fitted to give us expiation and propitiation through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. He's fitted for that. Nobody else can stand our place, nobody, right? Listen, from the day of Christ's childhood, you remember that, what he said when he was about 12 years old and he was missing in the caravan? What did he say? Why do you think he said that? You think he said that on his own? Because he was chosen, right? He was the Christ, even at 12 years old. But he still was human in the flesh. And he asked all this human stuff, and I need you to do this. I need you to act like a 12-year-old boy. That's what I need you to do. Right? He says, yeah, I'm doing that. But at the same time, I'm starting to transition. Now, my voice is getting a little bit deeper, and I must be about my father's business. Because I am fit for that. Right? I mean, at what age does a child realize their gifts from God? At what age? Everybody's age differs, right? It all depends on. Often it is that you have, knowledge of who God is and pursue that. You got to pursue that. And it has to be not only pursued by you, but the people that are around you ought to be godly people as well, encouraging you to seek after God. Because when you do that, man, and you find out exactly what it is that God has for you to do, boy, I tell you, either you do it or you do like Jonah, right? And you can do like Jonah if you want, but you're going to end up doing it anyway. Am I right? And why? Because God has fitted you for that. And under going in. The ones 20 and over, not going in. That includes Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Not going in because you was over 20. I mean, think about that. Now, they didn't go in for because there was over 20, right? But even though God promised you're not going, they did something that didn't call, and his promise was still kept. There was over 20, and they didn't go in. He said, except Joshua and Caleb. Think about it. Right, it's age of accountability. I mean, I think in my mind, and it's just me, that at 12 years old, Christ was the only one who could stand up and say that kind of stuff. He didn't fit us for that. He did not. He didn't do it, right? So.
But for one thing, you can't even make your own choices at 12.
Right, you can't. You try to, you think you can. Here's another thing that Christ was fit for. I want you to think about this. And we fit for the same thing, but for a different reason, right? Christ was fit for the, wasn't he? Perfectly fitted for the cross. Even the two thieves on either side wasn't perfectly fit for the cross. Christ's destiny was the cross, and God prepared him that he might be perfectly fit and he might down that cross. You follow what I'm saying? Perfected and perfect is what we're dealing with this morning. The perfect man was perfected for the cross. And then God tells us, each man has a cross too. How you doing with that? Because he has perfected us to carry the cross, right? Now, if he's perfected us to carry the cross, why are we whining and saying it's too heavy for us to bear? Is it? Everybody's got their own cross to bear, right? Yours might be a little lighter than mine, you know, whatever. You know, 25 pounds is heavy to some people, but to some it's not, right? That's where Jesus stands at, right? Just as he carried his cross, he needed some help to carry, right? Simon of Cyrene, get on in there and help him, right? God does the same thing for us. We don't have to carry these burdens around that we carry around all the time, because God has fitted us with Jesus Christ to carry those burdens for us. You know, you can say anything you want now because you helped me this morning with. Exactly.
Sometimes we may not, and every time I don't think about it, but now that you're talking about it, when you reflect, you realize that no, that wasn't, you know, I can't give myself credit for that. You know, the person may say thank you, whatever, but you know, this was gone.
Exactly.
See what I'm saying? Because
right.
I'm supposed to be at home right now.
Mm-hmm. Right. Chosen by God, perfected by God.
Right.
For whatever his will is in our lives, right? Now here's another mouthful I want to give you. Go ahead.
I'm just going back to the accountability. It does depend on the person. I obeyed the gospel at 12, but I knew even before 12, I wanted to serve God.
Exactly. Exactly.
I wanted to do it because I wanted to.
Exactly.
Because this is something that was about my life. So I sat down and I listened. And then when I became, this is my choice, when I became 12, I said, you know, this is what I'm going to do. And I'm still here. I think by the grace of God,
exactly.
I'm still here.
Exactly.
You know, but it's not about a certain age or, you know, I guess it's other than. Been a journey, but I always come back to God. So that's the whole thing about life when you say about imperfection. You know, that has to be something that you, I'm not going to say in you, because how do you get it in you? You know, that's something you have to work towards to say, it's not my will, but I'm going to do this because I love God, I'm living in God, and I want to do God's will.
Because the word is in you. That's how you get in you. Once the word is in you, the Spirit of God is in you, and it charges you to do those things that He's called you to do. You right? Now, here's what I want to ask you. Here's what I want to ask you. Since Jesus Christ was fit for the cross, right? He was also fit to say these words that no man can ever say, it is, right? Who can say that? What man can say that it's finished? What's finished? What is he talking about? What did he say was finished? What is he talking about there? Come on. That's right. That's right. The sacrifice for sin has been given. And God is satisfied with that sacrifice in and as Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior. He chose him and perfectly fit him for that. Because if he didn't, then he would have been satisfied with those bulls and goats way back when. He'd have been satisfied with Aaron, right? But every single year, Christ don't have to do that every single year. It's been done one time, once for all, right? It is finished. And now what we have to do is carry it on as if it is finished. Because some folks don't want nothing to get finished except the roads that's in front of their house all full of holes. You want that to be finished. But ain't nobody working on that. Right, messing up your chassis every day. Listen, perfectly obedient to the cross, and it gives him the qualifications to be the lamb that was without spot or blemish that was brought before us. Nobody else can do that. Nobody. Because when man comes before the Almighty God, he can't offer any sacrifices for himself at all without Jesus Christ, our Savior. We could be that sacrifice. Remember we talked about in the book of Philippians about pouring ourselves out before God on the altar? We could be that sacrifice. Matthew asks us to be the sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Right? And how does he fit us for that perfectly? Because he called us out of darkness. You have to be called, right? Called us out of darkness into the marvelous light of what? Of our own selves? Marvelous light of Christ, because Christ is fit to shine the righteousness that comes from God in our lives. He's fit to save us from our own selves even, right? He's fit to wash away our sins. He was also fit to say those words, those three words, it's finished. I need you to think about that. Think about that. Nobody else could have got up on it. And it had men on the cross long before Jesus, they was crucifying him, right? He wasn't the first one. Nobody else on the cross ever said it was finished. Hung their head between the locks of their shoulders and looked at man and said, God, I thank you that I'm able to save these souls. He did that. Sometimes people choose you for something and you don't even want to be bothered with that. Am I right? You know you're qualified for it, and you know you're qualified for it. Like Valel said, it's peanut butter and jelly time now. You might have called me to do it, but I'm not doing it. I'm not. God has called us to be sons of God. He's chosen us, and he equipped us and fitted us for that purpose. And that's what I need you to see. So if we are perfectly fitted to be a child of God, let's just be one. Let's just do that. Jesus Christ was perfectly fitted to be called the Son of God and our Savior because God called him to do that, right? Perfect sacrifice, perfectly fitted to be our Savior, Hebrews 5:9, right? God looks at our heart, looks at our soul, looks at our mind, he looks at our life, our deeds. And which one of those are perfectly accepted before God? Which one of those can you give and walk before God and say, you know what, God? This is perfectly acceptable. It's not perfectly acceptable only in Christ. It's when it's acceptable. In Christ. Outside of Christ, lost. It's the bottom line. But Christ has offered a perfect sacrifice for us, right? Perfectly. And we examine now by God only through Christ. No longer under the wrath of God, because Jesus came and took away that wrath, that everlasting punishment from us, right? And God accepted that sacrifice of Jesus Christ to save our very souls. And we can't offer ourselves at all to God without that sacrifice going before us. Can't do it, right? Can't do it. So, there's a big difference. Jesus is a perfect Savior, but he's also perfected by God to be the Savior of mankind. Because there's no more sacrifice for sins. It's all over. It's complete. It's finished. It's done, right? So when you think about the transaction that you've made, let's say transaction that you make in this world, and you see sometimes that the transaction goes through and sometimes it doesn't, right? The fitness, the perfect fitness of Jesus Christ, and he transacted the salvation of our souls in the face of God, is a transaction that is going to be everlasting. Because he was fit to do that. Again, what are you fit to do? What are you fit to do? God became a man that he might lift man up to God. That's why he came. To lift us up to God. And listen, we have a hard time lifting each other up. And God knows that. That's why he says also in the book of Hebrews, let's encourage one another, right? Let's build each other up. Let's do that, because that's one thing we were called to do, right? Yeah. And if he didn't perfectly fit for us to do it, he wouldn't have called us to do it. Wouldn't have did it. So let's lift each other up. Let's come boldly before the throne of God and find grace through Jesus Christ to help us, right? None of us are going to be taken from men to save ourselves. Jesus Christ was taken from among men that he might save us. Right. Here's what the part about it was, though, the grievous part about it was, and it also be said about us as well, because times never change. You looked at Jesus Christ, and it says, he's saying that he is the Son of God. He's even saying that he's on equal terms with God. Well, didn't he come from Nazareth? Didn't he come from Nazareth? And not only that, he eats with sinners. Oh, well, we can't know. Indeed, he eats with sinners, and he receives them. And he held it against God, and he saw this destruction, right? He mingles with men. We can't. And if somebody chose us to be the Savior of the world, let's say we chose one man or one woman to be the Savior of the world, well, you know, they would just look at us with all kind of eyes and ears and listen for things that were bad. They were looking for that. Oh, he's with sinners. He can't be the one that we're looking for. He's not the Christ. They made a mockery out of him. But he came down for one purpose, that he might save us humans and be a great and perfect Savior, fit by God to do just that. And Hebrews 5:9 says he became the author of eternal salvation. We couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Right? So that's the difference in the word perfect and perfected when you look at it in the scriptures. There are other scriptures in the Bible that you can look at and you can attribute to those words as well. If you'd like to, you can look at some of those and put the word perfected in there, you know, and see what it gives for you. But it's a good thing to look at that, because there's a lot of words. If you put the word perfected in your concordance and in your Bibles and then read it as perfectly fit, you're going to see a big difference. It'll open your eyes up. Perfected is the word. That's all I got for you today. We're going to have one more class on a topical lesson, and then it's going to be the gospel meeting, and then the next session of lessons is going to open up after the gospel meeting. I think Brother Banks is going to be taking that class with a film strip and a commentary on Sunday. I'm going to be moving on to the Timothy class. With those who have volunteered to be a part of that. We want to teach young men, or men that are young in mind, to be leaders and teachers in the Lord's church, because God knows we need that. All right? Let's see who's perfectly fitted to do that, if you will. That's all I got for you this morning. Anybody got any comments about that, being perfectly fitted to serve God in any capacity that he calls us to? Let's do what he calls us to. Let's understand his grace and his mercy in our lives, and let's just do it. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this day, this time, this hour you've given us to look into your word. Ask that the things that we have gleaned from your word, Father, might indeed allow your spirit to guide us in those things, that we might grow thereby and become a church that you have called us to be in this world. A people, Father, not perfect, but perfected to do your will by your grace and your justice, and your mercy, and your love, and your kindness. We thank you for Jesus, who is an example before us. We ask that we might continue to do those things that will allow us, Father, to understand that our salvation, our citizenship is in heaven. These are all things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.